be a wonderful thing to see the youth actively involved in what's going on in the church and continuing on in good education. Amen. Amen. Because we know that is what we need in times like these. Amen. I did hear somebody mention the times that we live in. We'll talk about that briefly, but we do have a word this morning from the Lord. And we're going to first have a word of prayer to the Lord, and then we will take a look at a text from the Word of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we praise you this morning. Father, we bless you. We exalt your name. Lord God, you are worthy of all the praise. Father, we just thank you for letting us be here today. We thank you, oh God, that we are clothed and in our right minds. Father, we thank you for being God all by yourself. We even thank you, Lord, that you promised, as we saw in the clip, that you're going to come back with on a cloud with power and great glory to receive a church without a spot or wrinkle. So, Lord God, today we pray you bless us. Open our ears and our understanding, oh God, that we might hear a word from on high. Lord God, let that word do the work in us that needs to be done in order for your name to be glorified, oh God. Help us, oh God, in every weakness, oh God. We ask you to stand with us, oh Lord, today, this morning, as we present this word that you have given, Lord God. And we thank you for everybody under the sound of my voice. We ask that you cast away every spirit of darkness and evil, that there be none to stop the penetration of your word into good soil, that it might produce fruit some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. We ask it in the matchless name and to the praise and the glory of your Son, Jesus the Christ. It's in his righteousness that we pray. And the church said together, amen, amen, amen. We thank God. I'm going to go ahead. I have been praying ever since I was invited to come, and I learned some things from some previous pastors. I just want to say this is I don't know if you think of it this way. Sometimes when you go to a place and you are a member of a church, you don't think of the historicity, if you don't mind if I use that, of the church that you belong to. But I think about great people, and I've heard of these people sometimes. Some of them I knew personally. Pastor Kenny McNeese, for example, I've heard great things about things that he has done, and he did it right from this pulpit. And many people in the past, I've heard of good musicians that you've had, Claude Carruthers being one of them, and Quincy Fielding Jr., different people of this sort who have impacted the musical world, came right from your church. I'm actually married to the byproduct of your church. My wife, Hope, I tell her all the time, I said, Viley and her Carruthers, she sequestered you in a way that kept you to be the beautiful person that you have become, but all of that was because of her dedication to this church. And that's the type of person she was. I only got to know her for a little time after we got married, but I could tell that she had a tremendous impact on my wife and her brothers and sisters, who are now my brothers and sisters. And I just thought it's amazing to think about the impact of the local church. The local church is an awesome thing. Don't ever underestimate yourself. If you're here today and you're connected to the church, you're in a good place. This is a place of blessing. God uses this place to build and strengthen you and me when we come together. And so I consider Market Avenue to be one of the foremost churches on earth. I don't know what you think about it, but I just have to say, and I'm not trying to flatter you, I don't believe in flattery, but I do believe that God uses the institution of the church unlike any other thing that he does and has ever done, and this was his desire to do this. So keep that in mind. When Jesus had done everything necessary to save us from our sin, what did he do? He commissioned the church. He said, go into the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So he promises to be with the church. He may not be what I heard a brother over here mention, the governments of the world. The governments are dropping the bucket to God. The church is what's happening with God and his people. So if you are a part of the church, you ought to thank God every second, every time you get a chance. Because it's a wonderful thing to be a part of the physical body of Christ on earth. Amen. And particularly, we want to move to a particular area because I don't want to be too long with you today. I had another preacher taught me well. He said, whenever you preach, get up, speak up, hurry up, and shut up. He said, that's a good formula for preaching. You don't make the people happy twice. I said, Okay, I got that. So I learned that. So I'm going to have to be very concise here today. But in either case, let me call your attention to a passage. And let me add this for the youth that might still be listening. I wanted to say that my daughter Chelsea, who is through the marriage union of Hope and I, she is the most determined person I've ever seen as far as studying is concerned. And I'm not trying to toot her horn or elevate her, but she is focused. And I wanted to say to those other young ladies who have set careers for your life and young men, if you could just be focused, you can get somewhere. You can accomplish a lot. She has accomplished more than I've seen in any youth in that short a period of time to go from. She was in high school when we got married, and she just got a doctorate degree the other day.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? We've only been married since 08. So to me, that took some determination and a lot of focus. And so it's very important to be focused. Don't get distracted or sidetracked. Because what you're working on at this time in your life is going to support you and strengthen you throughout your future. And it's going to make your future be better. Amen. Having said that, let's take a look. I just had a few thoughts and I prayed on this that I wanted to present to you all today as the body of believers here at Market Avenue Church. I'm going to call it the famous Market Avenue Church because it is a famous church. You need to understand that the church is a wonderful thing. Don't let the devil shine off the glory.
Amen.
He like to wipe it off and make you think it's mediocre. No, it's not. It's fantastic.
Amen.
Thank God for this church. It's awesome. See, you got to feel that out of your spirit because it's true. God is using you and me, little old you and me, to do powerful things in the world. Here in the book of Isaiah, just to get us started on our text from Isaiah number 49, this is the 49th chapter, starting at the first verse. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring his servant Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, Is it a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore and restore the preserved of Israel? I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Amen. That's Isaiah 49, 1 to 6. Amen. And I want to ask someone to read our New Testament passage for us. So either we can all read it together if you want to turn to the book of Matthew in the New Testament, chapter 5. And we're going to take a look at just a few verses, Matthew 5 and verse 14. Read with me if you can find that in your copy of the Word. I'm reading the King James translation, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Let's read. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I want to use for a subject for this word from God today, lighting up the dark side of ourselves. Lighting up the dark side of ourselves. Amen. Every one of us has a dark side. We don't like to talk about it much. We know it's there. There's some things in the back of our minds, some things that we experienced in our past, stuff that we went through before we got saved in some cases. Some of us were fortunate enough to be raised in a household where you were taught salvation in the ways of God from a youth on up. But some of us didn't. We got people came from different kinds of backgrounds. There are folks who came out of drugs, and folks came out of alcohol and sexual sins of every sort. And so they have some things in the back of their mind that are not godly. We could say there's some dark things in the minds of some of us. And I could even go on and say, even if you were brought up in a godly household, doesn't mean that you weren't tempted by the dark side. It doesn't mean that you weren't affected and even propositioned by the dark side. People in the world are out there. The devil has folks out there who are propositioning people about things from the dark side all the time. And when I say the dark side, what does that mean? That means stuff that is anti-God, stuff that is against Christ, stuff that is against the church, things that have a negative impact on the world, things that have devastated generations of people and caused all kinds of turmoil in the earth, such as slavery and stuff of that sort. A lot of things on the dark side. A lot of things in temptation with financial things that tempt people to the dark side. A lot of times it's just attitudes that we have. You know, we might have some negative attitudes where we don't like a certain person for this, that, or the other, something they said or a way that they offended us. And so we have a lot of things like that. We're not going to waste the whole morning talking about that. But I just wanted to put it in your thoughts today that we do have some things from the dark side. These are the things that cause us to veer away from sometimes what thus saith the Lord. It's things we don't mind putting what God said on the back burner for just 5 minutes so I can get you told, whoever this is, this has gotten on my last nerve. You know, now, the thing that provokes you, different stuff provokes different ones of us in different ways. It could be in traffic. My wife always tells me, you have compassion for the homeless, but you can't stand it when somebody sits at the light 5 seconds after it turns green. And that's true. There's stuff that just gets on you, that ticks you off and makes you go somewhere where you normally wouldn't go. So what we're talking about, and God knew we would have this kind of a situation, is that he teaches us how to lighten up that dark side. Yeah. See, there's some things in that dark side need to be put away. Some of them need to be cut completely out, buried, and thrown, you know, deep into the depths of the sea. But some of it we still have trouble with. Some of it we've gotten rid of. I can look back and see a number of dark things from my past that have been cut off, never to rise again. Thank God. Can somebody say hallelujah right there? You know, there's some stuff in your life God already dealt with, some big stuff. But the part that bothers us, that lingers on, is that there's little stuff. And it keeps coming up. The flesh keeps on rising up every day, every time it gets an opportunity. In fact, the times we stay the farthest away from the church, is more likely that these things will creep up and start trying to take hold on us. And so we have to be very careful. So what I want to talk with you about in these next few minutes is, how do you lighten up the dark side? And you notice I put this in the possessive and the plural, ourselves. That includes me. How can we become better as we walk with God? Well, the first thing you have to do is be anchored in the doctrine of salvation. Now, basically what that says is God always knew that ever since Adam fell, that one sin he did was enough to plummet the entire human family into sin and separate them from God. And God stepped right in right at that moment. And when Adam had sinned, he had been disobedient to God's law. He stepped right in and covered him with his grace and mercy. Yeah. Right there in Genesis 3:21, as God had seen Adam and Eve running away from him for the first time. They had been running to him. They were covered in his glory and his righteousness. And now they're running away, hiding themselves, covering themselves with fig leaves, the works of their own hands. And God had to come and tell them, by action. He took action in Genesis 3:21. He slayed an animal and covered them with the bloody skins to let them know that you cannot cover yourself. What you do with your own hands cannot cover you in my sight. It requires death and the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. And so he covered right there in the garden the very thing that is a foreshadowing of the gospel of Jesus Christ with the very first human parents. Now they had a dark side from that time on, and it was passed down to me and you all the way up until today. And so we want to learn how to lighten up that dark side. How do you do that? The process of salvation is just that. It's learning what God said and how to apply it to my life to check the dark side that still exists, that still lurks beneath the surface in everything I try to do. And so God wants you to learn these things. This is why the Bible says so many things of this sort. Now I want you to know the prophecy, first of all, is all through the Word. It started in the books of Moses. And of course here we have a representation of a prophecy of Christ in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 49, listen, O Isles. Yeah, what you'd have to do in order to really get this, and I'm just going to suggest this to you, go back and read chapter 48, then think about this message after you get through. 48 shows how Israel, the chosen people God had chosen, had rejected him and refused to hear his voice. God had spanked them with Gentile powers who came in and took them out, basically, of their own land, deported them out of their own land. And then you read here in 49, God begins to speak to the whole world, because it has always been God's desire to save all men, whether they be Jew or Gentile, didn't make a difference. But God uses a set of people in the world throughout all of time in order to administrate his rule to the world. So here in Isaiah 49, he says, listen, O isles. Now he's talking about the isles of the sea. And hearken unto me, ye people from afar. He's talking to the rest of the people, because his people have already stopped listening. We have to be very careful there. The Lord hath called me, this is speaking of Messiah, from the womb and from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He began to talk about sending the Savior right away, even back in the book of Genesis, when sin came in the world. God began to give the solution to the prophets. And of course, I always call that retroactive prophecy, when Moses went back and wrote about stuff that had happened generations before his time. And that's in the book of the law. The book of Genesis is that type of prophecy. But I wanted you to see God begins to speak to all the nations just like he has given you and me instruction to do today. When you go outside the church, we are here to meet, to charge our batteries, to refresh the light side in order that we might check the dark side when we go out. You have authority and power from God to do so. The devil wants you to think, just weak little old me, I'm not able to do. Yes, you are. God has empowered you. That's why he didn't leave it up to you. When you trusted Christ to be your Savior, he filled you with his Holy Spirit. He baptized you in the Spirit to empower you, to give you the power to go out in his name and speak what thus saith the Lord. And so don't let the devil suppress you. You know what? The mind, the flesh, the world, all the folks at your job, people all around you want to suppress that. But God wants you to turn it up. All right. He wants you to speak the word with authority. He wants you to represent him. Doesn't mean you have to go preach. All right. Just means you live your life in the light, not in the darkness. Amen. You walk by faith and not by sight. It's not necessary for me to see what it is. God said I can do it. Therefore, I'm able. I'm well equipped to do what the Lord says. And so God began to speak to the world here. Notice what he says here in Isaiah 49 and 2. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. That's what the image is, even in Revelation, of God's word coming out as a two-edged sword. He says, in the shadow of his hand he hid me, speaking of Messiah, and made me a polished shaft in his quiver. He hid me. That's a picture of an arrow in a quiver that would be pulled out by an archer and sent out to strike a target. And that is a picture of Christ. God is sending his son into the world. He fired that arrow right at the right time, and the whole world is now configured around the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been 2017 years since his birth. And we call that the first advent in the church. He sent Jesus out right at the right time. Paul put it this way in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. He said, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, born under the law to redeem us from the curse of the law. Now he says that because you and me, considering we have a dark nature in there, it's still there. He didn't take it out. Remember Paul in Romans 7 crying out, oh, wretched man that I am. Who should deliver me from the body of this death? See, he knew that that dark side was still there, even though I'm saved. So it's going to be a struggle. It's going to cause me to have to do what God said, no matter how I feel, no matter what my emotions tell me, no matter what the populace around me says, no matter what's popular in the culture. None of that trumps what God said. So I have to tend toward doing the right thing, lightening up the dark side of myself every day in order for me to continue to fulfill the will of God. I wish, and sometimes you probably feel like this, and I think I heard Paul say it too, I wish he would have just taken that all out. But you know why God doesn't? Because he wants you and me to still be compassionate toward other people who are completely entrenched and bound in sin. And if he took it out of us, oh boy, we'd be rough. We're rough now, dealing with other people who have issues. You know, but God wants you to always be compassionate toward people who have issues because you can relate to it. Just below the surface, you have a dark side. Amen. So when I see somebody else struggling with it or stuck in it, it's easier for me to be compassionate because I know what it's about. But the good side is more powerful. But now God wants the light side of your life to be brightened even more and more. And so how do you do that? You come to church. You hear the word. You pray. You seek his face. You touch and agree with one another. You, Brother Vernon was saying this morning, one of the most powerful tools that we have in our arsenal is prayer. And sometimes we think little of prayer. But he said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. See, and that's what we have to do. And that right there is the confession that the dark side is still there. The fact that he says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. See, because we need to be healed. We still got some stuff that's broke. God didn't just snap you instantly perfectly holy. But he did fill you with his Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is to lead and guide us to all truth. And so looking back at this prophecy, God had prepared Jesus long before. The Bible even says it was in the throne room of God before the foundation of the world. He determined to send his son, Jesus Christ, in order to be the Redeemer of the whole world. There is no other. That's one thing I like to say dogmatically. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4 and 5. I like to make that completely black and white clear. Don't go think something else can save you somewhere. There isn't anything else. It's popular today to say, oh, there's so many choices, but you know, that's your truth. And no, God said there's one way. Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. And he who is not gathering with me scatters abroad. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So that's very, very clear. So we need to stand right there and don't be moved. See, because we're not going to help anybody with a wishy-washy opinion about how people get saved. We need to be black and white clear with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? You ought to do it with a passion. I had a young man just as I pulled up here today. He was saying something to some other ladies that were coming into the church. And then he saw he was getting nowhere with them. Apparently he was trying to get an offering from them of some sort. So he came up to my window. He says, sir, oh, I'm trying to get back to Springfield. And I had to bring my grandmother to church. He had a really good story going there. And he said, I just need money because I have a newborn baby in Springfield. I said, oh, really? I said, who's keeping the baby right now? Yeah, I want to ask him, but I understand where you are. I said, you can't tell me any old kind of story. I asked him, who's keeping the baby if you're down here? And why would you leave and not have a way to get back to your newborn baby? His story was twisted because he was trying to sucker me out of some money. And so simply put, you have to be wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. I said, you know what? Come on into the service and I'll take you back myself right after church. And we'll take care of that baby. Come on in. You need to hear the word. Do you know Jesus loves you just like you are? And I could see a little conviction fall on him. I didn't send him away cold. I said, yeah, I'd love to take you to lunch or something after church. Come on in. Let's go meet your grandma. We'll sit down. We'll talk this out and get you fixed up. That was all it took. He said, okay, sir. And he went on. I said, okay, I offered you dinner, I offered you a trip to Springfield. You weren't going to buy it. Okay, well, I'm sorry, I offered you to come to the church. I got a good word that's going to go forth here today. So this is the thing you have to do. Be as wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. I mean him no harm. I'm actually asking God to convict him with the message that he heard in that amount of time. Jesus said this, ye are the light of the world. Ye, who is that? My disciples. Or the light of the world. Look at that, man. You are the light of the world. We thought General Electric or Ameren UE or somebody would have been the light of the world. No, ye are the light of the world. He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I've given you something that everybody can see. You might not see it. Your dark side might tell you, I'm just a little old so-and-so. You know, you may put yourself down, but Jesus put you up. He said, you are the light of the world. Think about that. When people see you, there's a little light in you that's glowing all the time because of your faith in Jesus Christ that speaks volumes to the multitude as you go forth, as you just go on your normal way in every day when you do whatever you do. He says, it cannot be hid. That means I have something in you. People see it even though they would like not to. Maybe you might not like to have people know that you know Christ and that you believe God raised him from the dead. Notice what he says. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. That's Matthew 5:15. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. This is a light we share within the family, within the house, in the church house, in any house that we occupy. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, he said, you're supposed to be shining for me. And it's the way you live, the way I protect you, the way you have comfort, even in times when other people are going through changes. And really, like, people are broken and hurt over a lot of things because they don't know the answers. Folks who are saved, you have a connection directly with God. He lives in you, the Most High God. I'm in here checking your emotions, which sometimes come from the dark side. I'm in here checking everything in your life because I love you. And I have defeated even death. So even when death comes, you don't have to be sorry as others who have no hope, Paul says. No reason. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Jesus said this, John 16:33, these things have I spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. See there, tribulation and good cheer. Those don't go together, do they? That's the light side and the dark side. When the tribulation comes, you be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And I did it for you. That's implied in the John 16:33 text. So ever since the creation, God has set a difference between the light and the darkness. It began in Genesis. And has provided a remnant of people who believe him and trust him for his mercy, his grace, and his truth, and are selected by him to represent him as a witness to the ways of his glory, his ways, his glory, and even through many who choose to walk in darkness. Some people choose to walk in darkness and reject the truthfulness of God, and therefore they walk in darkness rather than in light. See, but you and I have selected, we know about the dark side. We don't want to have the dark side prevail. And so therefore we have chosen to walk in the light. Actually, he chose you. John 15:16 said, you did not choose me, I chose you. So Jesus selected you. That's why you're here today. That's why you're special to me. Because you're his bride. He loves you. I'm the attendant to the bride. I'm here to help encourage the bride and strengthen the bride to walk by faith, walk in the light, even as he is in the light. And so God has promised from the very beginning to send his son, Jesus, the Messiah, to be the light of the world, especially to Israel, but also to the Gentiles. That means anyone else that's not Israel, as well, to forever repair the breach between God and mankind, for whosoever believes in him, that he alone was raised from the dead. No one else has defeated death. All these so-called religious folks, where are they? In the grave. That's where they are. Who got out of the grave? One person got up out of the grave. He is the only one that has the power of to defeat death in the grave. He said, behold, I am alive forevermore. So why should I think about anyone else and you in the tomb? How are you going to help me when I get in the tomb? You can't help me, but Jesus is the only one who can help you. That's why God centered this word. Every tick on the clock is ticking because he came 2017 years ago. So because we are his children, we must not allow the world to put our light out. That's what the world wants to do. It wants to put your light out. Stop saying that. That's politically incorrect. You know, we're going to embarrass you if you keep saying that. They want to stop you from saying the truth. But Jesus said, it cannot be hid. They see it. That's why they want to stop it. They won't even, don't even let them dim your light. Don't let them turn you down. But we must actively choose to live out the light of Christ in everything we say and do, and therefore we must actively pursue the process of lighting up the dark side in ourselves in order to glorify God and to be a proper witness to the falling world rather than letting their darkness snuff out the light of the truth. You and I have to take a stand. And you may say, preacher, that's easy for you to say. But I just want you to know, God loves you just like you are. He did everything necessary to declare you not guilty. He's given his son, raised him from the grave, so that whoever, doesn't make any difference who they are, doesn't make any difference how dark their dark side is, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's our mission. That ought to be your highest priority. No matter what else you're doing, however you're making tents to exist and survive, keep Christ in the middle of everything. When you're having personal conflicts in your own life, and we all have them, we really do, always accentuate the light side. Won't be easy. That'll be a tough job. This message may sound light, but it's really tough. But it's good, and I hope that I'm stimulating you to know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Even though it's hard, that doesn't mean you can't do it. See, the harder it is, we had a saying, we used to say, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I guess that came from David and Goliath. I don't know exactly where, but stack up all that stuff on the dark side and begin to pray on the light side. Amen. And you will find out that you will be victorious. God is going to give you the victory in everything that you need. The victory is yours. We sing that song, victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Sing, joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Joy today is mine. One more little singing project before I'm done. Amen. This little light of mine, gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Where are you gonna let it shine? All in my home, I'm gonna let it shine. To me, Jesus gave it to me, and I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave it to me, and I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave it to me, I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it shine,
let it shine. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt your name. Father, if there's any under the sound of my voice that need to be saved, we pray today that you give them faith right now to believe that you sent your son and raised him from the dead in order that they might be saved. And save them right now. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. We're going to have the officers of the church come and do an official opening to allow the people to come to hear it by faith right now. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. The church say it together. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand praise. Amen.